Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Joey Harrington on the show later, former Duck, former NFL quarterback. We're going to talk about the quarterback position in general. Yeah, the old guys and the young guys this weekend with Drew Brees and Tom Brady playing against Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes. I'll ask Joey Harrington about that coming up. Our next guest, friend of the show, well-respected businessman, big sports fan, Harvey Platt, the retired CEO of Platt Electric, is joining us. How are you, sir?
Respected? I don't know what you're talking about. Hi, John.
How are you?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
It's public now. It's all out there. You're part of this charter investor group for the Portland Diamond Project. What's the reaction you got when your name went out?
Pretty much ho-hum. You know, if from people who didn't know what was going on, the reaction has been muted, I would say. You know, I think that in supporting that, I want to say that Craig and Mike have done such a good job of nursing this project along that everything that, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago we would have thought was shocking is now becoming ho-hum. And as much as we have raised our expectations from perhaps zero to perhaps, I don't know, 70 or 80.
I look at this, the time that we're in right now versus maybe 2003 when we were entertaining the idea of the Expos coming to Portland. What do you think has changed in that time for both Portland and baseball?
I would say everything. First of all, that group, which I was thinking, I think I'm the only person remaining from that group that's involved in this group, and perhaps that's why they asked me to be involved. Certainly, the economy is much better, at least locally. Portland certainly has grown way beyond anything that, you know, I've lived there my entire life that I would have expected. There are a couple more factors. Are there are a lot of people with a lot of money that don't live in Portland that are looking for places to invest their money. And when I say that, I mean not just in baseball, but in things that would be, you know, obvious no-brainer investments. And if you look up and down the West Coast, Los Angeles is built out, if you will, as much as it could be. San Francisco, Seattle, et cetera, et cetera. Portland is the next best place to be. And then the other part is in 2003, we were looking for money. We were looking for money from the state and from the city, and this group is entirely different. This group is looking for support from the state and the city and some money. But the money in this group is not so much that we have to have the money, but we'd like to know that the state and the city and the county or whatever local agency is supportive of this project.
Harvey Platt is with us. He's one of the, he and his wife, Sandy, one of the charter investors in the Portland Diamond Project, retired CEO of Platt Electric. When you go back and you think about the origins of your family business and you think about dreaming like this on a ballpark, are there things that you learn in business that can be applied to a project like this that comes many, many years later?
That's a good question. I would think a 30,000-foot answer to that would be look for really good people. When this project first was proposed, I guess almost 2 years ago now, I thought it was a hoax. I'll tell you a little story to answer your question, and then I'll answer your question if I have time. We had sold the business in 2012, and Sandra and I are down here in Palm Desert for the rainy part of the year. Ironically, it's rainy here today. And I got a call from Platt Electric, which we no longer own, that some guy named Cheek was trying to get a hold of me about baseball. And they wanted to know if I should give out my, if they should give out my number. And I said, yeah, whatever, if you want. And I never really heard from him. I don't know, there was some communication problem. Later on, Mike Barrett called me, who I've known for a long time, and he introduced Craig to me. And initially, I thought that, you know, this is, this, you know, we gave up on that when the city of Portland let us down, you know, 15 years ago. No, thank you. Goodbye. But as I listened and learned more and more and more, I became convinced that this is something that we wanted to be participating in. And now to answer your question, we learned in our business, and I learned from this experience, you always want to deal with great people. And I have been convinced that the people involved in this are great people, and there is zero BS factor.
Harvey Platt with us, retired CEO of Platt Electric, now part of the Charter Investor Group with the Portland Diamond Project. I went down to the Terminal 2 site this morning. I looked through the fence. I could see it. I could see families. I could see, hear the crowd. You know, I see the vision. What is this about for you? Is this about, is this a money-making investment? Is this a legacy thing? What's it about?
No. It definitely is not a money-making thing. There is a financial investment, if you will, and I'm putting investment in air quotes, required, of course. We, Sandra and I, looked upon this as a charitable gift, and I don't mean that it truly is a charitable gift, but if it goes away, at least we tried. And my perspective on this goes back to my Little League days, my Babe Ruth days, my days of at Platt Electric sponsoring Sunset's baseball team. And if anybody goes by there, you'll see Platt's name is still on the scoreboard. My days watching George Freese and Louis Marquez and Sam McDowell and Louis Tiant play for the Beavers. And then later on, the thing that really got me was I absolutely hated the Kingdom. I went to one game in the Kingdom, and I, as a baseball purist, I really seriously felt ill. And I know some Seattle Mariners fans will disagree with that. But when Safeco Field, now known as T-Mobile Field, was built, and we experienced that. We had charter seats there for our customers in Seattle, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, this is really cool. I mean, it's about the entire experience. It's about a game that you can go to and talk to somebody, unlike the NBA, where you can't possibly talk to anybody in an NBA game. It's about taking your family, and, you know, you can have the best seats in the house, or you can sit, you know, you can sit in the bleachers and go very inexpensively. And it's about building that legacy, which I've seen what they've done in Seattle, and I've seen what they've done in San Francisco and San Diego, and to a lesser degree in Los Angeles and Anaheim. And it's really a cool thing that we are missing out on. And I've heard you do the statistics on your show a number of times. You can tell the people now, we are like, what, 20th or so amongst the major league cities in terms of population?
Yeah, and we 10th in growth. If you just look at growth over the last 10 years, we sit in the 10 spot, which is why we talk about things that have changed for baseball. Baseball's looking at smaller stadiums. Baseball's looking to expand. Baseball's looking for young, growing cities. Hello, here we are.
Yeah, Kansas City's a good comparison. Fortunate enough to go to Kansas City a few years ago, actually the year they won the World Series by coincidence. And that's an older stadium that they've redone. They've made it real family friendly. It's not that big, and it's a great crowd. And Kansas City is, my understanding, is not as big as Portland.
Harvey Platt with us, part of the Charter Investor Group with the Portland Diamond Project. I was impressed this morning that the group did not hold a news conference. It's just like business as usual moving forward. Have you had a chance to visit with other investors? And if so, when you're in that room, What's sort of the atmosphere of that room?
I have not, actually. Craig had a get-together in December, I believe, and we were actually flying home that night. We had a dinner date with our daughter, so I have not met with any of them, I don't believe. I've talked with Darwin Barney on the phone about something else. And ironically, Mike Fritz lives here where we live in the desert, and I haven't yet met him. So I've not actually been in the room with them. I was at the Russell and Sierra Wilson event where a number of them were there, and I was, you know, but that was an atmosphere where it was hard to talk.
How tuned in are you, as you know, I'm sure day to day, Craig Cheek, who's the founder of the group, has got, he's busy, and Mike Barrett's busy sort of advancing the ball. How tuned in do you get to the relocation versus expansion discussion, or how critical is that, do you think, to this whole project?
Yeah, I don't know anything that you probably don't know. I think we both know that Tampa is a mess, and Oakland is a mess. I know the commissioner doesn't want to talk to us about relocating any team if I was him, I would say the same thing. As obviously, any commissioner in any sport wants to, you know, keep the teams in the cities where they are located. So we've said all along that if that doesn't work out, we're standing by. And if it does work out, we also know, as the commissioner said up in Seattle last year, that he'd like to add two teams, one in the East and one in the West. I do want to say, getting back to something you asked earlier, I just crossed my mind about the involvement of the city and the state. We are not without competition. Nashville has recently formed a group. Montreal is in the process, I understand, of forming a group. There's San Antonio and Charlotte and possibly Las Vegas. So aside from financial support or infrastructure support or whatever, it would be nice to know that the state and local people are excited, you know, as much as the private investors, because that's going to become a factor when we're up against these other cities.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it's more of a, you know, if you're baseball, I try to put myself in the shoes of Rob Manfred. It's, okay, I'm looking for, you know, the largest cities that we don't already have. I'm looking for one in the East and one in the West, maybe, if it's expansion. And then you're looking for solid ownership, but you also are looking for buy-in from state and local politicians, from the public. And while that might not be a financial thing in your case, how important is that you feel like you get support from the governor, support from the mayor, support from city commissioners and the people in Portland who are saying, hey, look, we really want this here?
It's very important. John, just imagine in your job, if I call in and say you're doing great, and you know, your listeners say you're doing great, and the boss upstairs isn't supporting you, you know, that it's going to affect the way that you're perceived by sponsors or whatever. So similarly, it's real important for the mayor, the governor, the city council, or whatever. We understand Portland has other problems, absolutely, but it's real important that the powers that be have an understanding of the potential financial impact, positive financial impact, and that how much their support will mean to us to get this done in the eyes of the commissioner and the media.
Now, you are a baseball fan. Your wife is a former preschool teacher. When you pitch her on the idea of this charitable contribution, how'd that go over?
Well, I put that in air quotes. Did you not see the air quotes?
I saw the air quotes.
meaning that we have no great expectation of getting that back. We very likely could get it back. The next step is if this proceeds, we'll be in a position to make the decision if we want to be minority owners. And we don't even know. And there's no guarantee of that. One possibility is somebody who's not even in our group, you know, moves a team here and they already have an owner, right?
Right.
So we know that, and we know we're big people, and we're willing to take that risk. But you know, there's a good chance that if this succeeds, we could be minority owners, and you know, at the time that that happens, that would be a gift for our children, and you know, they could figure out what to do with it.
Harvey, let me ask you: you've been to a lot of baseball games. If you and I are sitting at a game, where's the best place in the stadium to sit?
I like to sit behind, like two or three rows behind either dugout, get an idea of what's going on, or occasionally behind home plate. You know, depending upon who's pitching.
When I took
our friend Jim Joyce up to Seattle, we sat right next to the Mariners dugout, and it was kind of cool because. Every time the Mariners players, especially the older ones, came off the field, they'd stop and shake his hand.
I tend to like the first base side better. More action, I think.
Okay.
All right? If we're going to be at the game together, let's do first base.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure that, you know, you're able to do that. You know, if for any reason you don't have a press pass.
All right. I appreciate you. Congratulations to you guys and to you and your wife for being part of this. I'll say thank you for a lot of people who are saying this is a gift that you guys are giving sports fans in the state of Oregon.
Oh, thanks to you, John. And I want to say one more thing. Thanks for getting this story right. You know, as opposed to some other media outlets in town, I want to, if I have like a minute to tell a brief story. You're a big Blazer fan, I know. And back, I was there when the Blazers won the championship, which you weren't, in 1977. There was a game when Bill Walton had 20 rebounds and Maurice Lucas had 19 rebounds and Dave Twardzik had one rebound. So what is that? That's 40 rebounds between the three. You would have reported that Walton and Lucas had 39 rebounds. The other media outlet reported that Dave Twardzik had one.
Yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't. We got to keep it real.
All right. Thanks, John.
Harvey Platt, there he is. Your reaction to that? If you were sitting in that position, is that a charitable contribution you'd be comfortable making? 503-417-7575. Marcus Harvey's the CEO and founder of Portland Gear. He's also a charter investor. He'll be with us in just a few. Joey Harrington on the show. Sabrina Ionescu on the show. Oregon Ducks women's basketball star. CJ McCollum still to come. I've made up my mind. I'm picking the Patriots. Taking the Patriots to beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. Part of that is Julian Edelman sealed it by tweeting out, bet against us. I'm telling you, I did it last week, learned my lesson. Shame on me. But it happens. I do it twice in a row, then it's my fault. That's me. Good interview. Great interview with Harvey Platt. I thought Harvey Platt was great. This is a more seasoned individual who understands business in a way that he and his family have. They built a uber successful business. And he's just a guy who's been around sports a long time and sees a lot, knows how it's made. He understands the landscape nationally. I think it's a really interesting perspective to get somebody to have skin in the game. I don't know if my wife would have been on board with what Sandy Platt was on board with. And I said, hey, I want to potentially be a minority investor in this thing. She might have asked more questions. But I think, too, when you are somebody of his business acumen, and if I'm a fellow investor, like we're going to talk to Marcus Harvey, who's a very different story. Harvey Platt's retired, okay? Marcus Harvey's 28. He's just built a business. And he has poured what appears to be his life savings into the Portland Diamond Project. Right after getting married. It's a whole nother discussion. Whole nother thing. But if I'm Marcus Harvey of Portland Gear, I'm looking over at Harvey Platt going, that guy built a successful business and he's a believer? I'm in. Mike's in Portland has called in. What's up, Mike?
Hey, John. You know, one of the things that people are not mentioning when they talk about all the people that have moved to Oregon, that most of these people are concentrated within the urban growth boundaries. That's why now it's so congested that people got to split their yard to provide housing, which, and that's not a good situation. And also, because all of the numbers here, that you can't even go to the parks because it takes so long to get there because of the traffic jam. You can't even go to the ocean anymore because you're bumper to bumper trying to enjoy other things in Oregon besides baseball.
What do you want to do, though? You want to live on Mars by yourself? Is that what you're saying? Like, happiness is being alone?
John, what I'm saying is that right now, Seattle has been rated now as one of the worst cities to live in because it's expensive, it's crowded. And so when people come here and they want to bring that type of overpopulation to Oregon, I just don't think in the long run that is good. I mean, if people want
All right, hang on. Can you hold through the break?
Sure.
All right, more with...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.